This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash, world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. It's just like, it doesn't make sense. You ready to talk some comics?
I'm ready.
Before we get into the listener questions, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What
is your question?
Is my question. That is my question for you.
Magic 8 Ball says, check again later.
All right, I guess we'll do listener questions first, and then we'll figure it out. No, I was going to ask... what the favorite thing or series that you're reading right now might be.
Oh, tough one right off the bat, eh?
Yeah, because I've got one, and when I said it to you guys in our chat, I think everyone was kind of surprised.
Well, you go, and I'll think about it. How about that?
Okay. Right now, I honestly think... that Batgirl may have become my favorite DC book.
Yeah, I was surprised when you said that in the chat.
Yeah, I don't know why. The current arc right now with her and Nightwing is just so good that I'm loving every bit of how they're jumping between, you know, when they first kind of started working together many, many years ago on their first case. And I mean, it's... the thing that they're working on now is pretty much the younger sibling of the person that they were dealing with the first time. But right. Just the way that they've gone back and forth from when they were, you know, kind of teenagers to when they're, I'm guessing 20-ish, in their 20s now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But man, oh man, that book is spectacular.
Who is the creative team on that again?
I don't even remember. Is it Julie Benson writing it?
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah, because I hadn't read the last issue, and you were like, you got to read it, dude. It's so awesome. It's like my favorite comic of the week. And then I read it, and like the first three panels are about pooping.
Nah, it wasn't just about pooping, you jerk.
The first four panels?
Well, I mean...
first four panels were.
It was just a guy hanging around. Oh, no, Hope Larson's writing the book.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Hope Larson and Chris Wildgoose is the artist.
Wildgoose?
Yeah, he's British. I met him at New York Comic Con.
Do you think Dry Goose is his cousin?
Could be. And Grey Goose is his uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea he was English. And I went over and I was telling him how much I... you know, we were talking about Batgirl and the art and stuff and... yeah, obviously he has an accent. I was like, huh, interesting.
Now, are you talking DC books like ongoings or minis or what?
I'm talking whatever DC's putting out.
Okay, cool. Because I would have to say Gotham Garage.
Okay.
And or Mr. Miracle.
Okay. I have fallen behind on Mr. Miracle. I've only read the first issue.
Well, Gotham Garage, just because, like you, it's like Elseworlds style.
Right. That's a digital weekly, right? It's every week.
Yes, or is that's it correct.
Oh, okay.
It's every week. Yeah.
So it's like Injustice.
Yeah, pretty much. And then Mr. Miracle just because I'm really fascinated with that. I know everybody from our group is the whole, you know, dark side is pun, making fun of type thing, but
right.
I like the art in it. I like Tom's writing in it.
Right.
It's just, it's like one of those Moon Knight feels, like how Moon Knight was when it just relaunched with Lemire writing it.
Okay.
Like, you don't know exactly what the hell's happening.
Who was on the art? That's Mitch Garrods?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, I think that he and Tom King work really well together.
Yeah.
I mean, Sheriff of Babylon's awesome. But
agreed.
Yeah, like I didn't have a problem with the first issue. I sort of went in not really knowing what to expect, you know, because they sort of turned Batman upside down. But
right, well, not they, because Mitch only did like an arc or so, right?
Two
arc.
Issues.
Yeah,
two issues in the 20s, but yeah, but I was like, I don't know, you know. But I read the first one, I was like, this is significantly better than I was expecting. And I have issues. I guess 2 and 3 are out, right? Yeah, I have 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And I just...
It you know, I don't know if you've read The Vision with him or not.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's the characters, but it has that indie book feel to it.
Right.
To me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
And then sometimes it's like throwback art where it's pointillism, you know, like in the old school days. And then, you know, it's modern style and, you know, depending on what the panel is trying to portray.
Right.
But yeah, I would say between those two. And Gotham Garage, just because it's that Elseworlds type story, like Injustice.
Well, what is going on in Gotham Garage?
Like, what do you mean? Like, what's the premise? Or
yeah, that was one. I think I read the first one because you were telling me how good it was, and I was like, yeah, this one's just not for me. That was like the steampunk Harley or something.
It's more like Mad Max setting for the DC universe.
Oh, okay.
But things are like shaken up. Like, it's not Kara Zor-El for Supergirl. She's actually Kara Gordon. So she's not. Okay. And, like, Gotham is in, like, a biodome. And it's ran by Lex.
And Pauly Shore.
No, but that would be cool. And she accidentally breaks out of the dome. Because everybody thinks it's a wasteland outside the walls.
Okay.
But we meet, like, Carly and Big Barda and Natasha Irons and Catgirl, or Catwoman. I think it's actually Catgirl in this, but they're, like, a rogue biker gang. And the outside world's called, like, the Freeland. And what's cool is Gotham Garage is the old Hall of Justice from, like, the Super Friends cartoon. But it's like a biker bar. It's like a biker bar that Natasha Irons runs, and she also runs like a mechanic shop on the side of it. Okay. So, and it's just like Dick just showed up in last week's issue. I haven't read this week's, but and they don't know what to think of her. Because her last name's Gordon, and he's like the right-hand man of Lex, only he's like the person that knows everything's wrong.
Right.
And try and expose him. But her sister is Barbara, and because they adopted her. Basically, it's like Clark Kent's story origin, basically, but okay. They just found Kara. Because Batman is like... what's the story where there's like all different robotic Batmans that's guarding everything, or is the police force?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about? Was that Kingdom Come? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It was Kingdom Come where there's like big gigantic robots that was like Sentinels that was policing everything.
Yeah, wasn't there?
Yeah. So, like, Batman himself is, like, the protector of Gotham, but then there's all different kinds of robots and, like, stormtrooper guys, basically, in bat suits and SWAT bat suits patrolling Gotham and making sure that there's only one order and blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's really cool. It's just... it's cool to see a different play on everything, I guess. And like Harley's not obnoxious Harley in this one,
right?
Like when I read it, I actually read her voice and think of her more as the animated Harley.
Okay.
Instead of, you know, the Harley that we get in the books nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That's not what I like.
What, the animated one or
no, the new weird, like, animated Harley I like, but I don't know, like, I mean, I thought Harley was okay in Suicide Squad, but I don't see why they need to take the movie versions of characters and put them into the comics.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Agreed. Like, updated costumes and whatever.
Yeah. I will say, it was kind of amusing at Comic-Con that you used to see, like, a billion Harley Quinns who were dressed in, you know, like, the animated series outfit, carrying uh-huh. giant sledgehammers.
Uh-huh.
And now, this year, there was, like, two of them, and there were about 400,000 movie versions of her.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of Suicide Squad like movie old, Harley and Jokers.
So it's like old vintage Harley.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually, like, normally you kind of groan when you're like, oh, look, another Harley Quinn. But this year it was like, hey, look, finally there's one that's the one that I...
right. You know? Actually one that looks like a Jester.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a number one that came out that really has me really, really intrigued to see where it's going, though. But it's a 6-issue mini.
Oh, you mean Metal?
No. Since it's not number one.
Oh, you mean Batman the Merciless? Is that the one that was out this week? I don't remember.
Is that the underwater one?
No, that was...
that was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah. I just forgot what that one was called.
Drowned something?
Was it just the Drowned?
The Drowning or... Yeah, something. Yeah.
Batman the Phelps?
What? Is that a thing?
Michael Phelps?
Oh, yeah. Well, in the Drowning, it was back... Woman, basically, right? Did you read that yet?
Yeah. It was, and she was all confused why Aquaman was Aquaman.
Yeah.
Yeah, did I read Merciless? I don't think I read Merciless yet.
I don't know. I don't even think I've read it yet, because I didn't think it was out yet.
Yeah, it came out... What, this past Wednesday?
Huh. All right.
Yeah, I'm pretty. I got a new book this week. I don't remember what it is now. Now I'm confused.
Well, the book I was talking about, though, was Ragman, though.
Oh. Well, that brings me to a listener question. Our friend Martin asks us.
Your friend Martin.
Yeah, I guess your mortal enemy. he asked us what our thoughts on Ragman was. And I can give my thoughts very easily. I did not read it.
Well, I'll start off with my thoughts with you should.
Okay.
Now, was it indicated if he's read it or not?
No, he just asked what our thoughts were.
Okay.
Like, what are our feelings on the book?
Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and that was the book that I was talking about. That I'm. It's a 6-issue mini, and I'm. I want to see where it goes because.
So, is this following in the footsteps of the other 6-issue minis, with, like, the what was it? The Rise and Fall of Captain Atom, and the. I don't remember what the other ones were. The one with the. Crap, I forget. The one you were talking about.
Dead Man?
Yeah, with Dead Man.
Do you mean, does it stand alone?
Yeah, I mean, is it sort of like those books where it's, you know, they're releasing obscure character minis?
I would say so.
For seemingly no purpose? Like, I don't know if it connects to anything or.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll connect to anything either, but it's not, it hasn't shown anybody yet.
Okay.
Like, anybody else besides, I mean, it's only 1 issue in, so.
Right.
It's basically setting up re-origin story style. But it's Rory Regan again, or Regan. Okay. I think it's Regan. And like the old before that, he was like a war vet, but basically like Vietnam style.
Okay.
But now it's more like Gulf War vet, where they break into a tomb, and you know they're not supposed to.
Well, I mean, when are you ever really supposed to break into a tomb?
Right. Yeah. But it's Ray Fox.
Oh, really?
Is writing it. And
I didn't realize that.
I'm going to butcher the first name, but it's Ininka Miranda is the artist. And it's cool. It's, you know, we were talking Tom King and Mitch's Sheriff of Babylon style.
Right.
That's the art that I'm in, the vibe that it gives off.
Oh, man, now I'm going to have to buy this.
But he's a war veteran, but the only thing is, like, it happens in Gotham. Does everything have to happen in Gotham?
Yeah, there are tombs in Gotham, and the Gulf War took place in Gotham. Where
that's not where they broke into the tomb at. But everything, there's stuff that, you know, of the old characters, you know, like his dad's shop is still there, you know.
Okay.
From the old incarnation. I think it's Tathers and something, I believe. But I don't have it in front of me, or I would know what it's called, but like that was his, like before this version, before he owned an antique store or whatever, and then got into the, I don't want to say Egyptian or African gods type thing. And then, you know, he just used old rags and relics as his gear.
Right.
But this is more like a darkness that takes over him. Hmm. And so, like, when he comes back from the war, we see him in a PTSD group.
Okay.
And this guy's telling his story, not Rory, but another guy in the group's telling his story about seeing bright-eyed monsters around, and he's paranoid, and, you know, the counselor says that that's normal, that's part of the PTSD from the war.
Right.
And Rory's thinking in his head, man, I see those red eyes or those glowing eyes all over, and I don't know what to do. And then sometimes he's worried because he wakes up and, like, he's in one spot, and then he closes his eyes and he's in another spot. So, like, he doesn't know where he's at, basically.
Right.
And Rory's like, man, that happens to me too. I'll close my eyes at the store, and then I'll wake up and I'm going to sleep in my bed. And, like, I don't know how I got from point A to point B.
Right.
And then, so, like, monsters show up, and, he turns into the Ragman, and the voices that he hears, that he thinks that he's going crazy with. I'm not going to tell you who they are. You'll figure it out if you read it. But there's that strong connection there with them. So, because there's more than one inside his head when he's Ragman. And so it goes from there. And then it ends with one of the main monsters or some of the lackeys burning down the tattered shop, and they have his father.
Okay.
And so he turns into the Ragman on the spot, and that's how it ends. Dun dun dun.
Well, in traditional Nerdy Legion podcast fashion.
Yes.
I've just picked up issue one.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I will give it a read and report back to you when we record our next episode.
Well, there you go. Because that's awesome that you did that.
Yeah, because it sounds interesting enough. And I do like Ray Fox.
Yep.
He just had an Image book come out too, I think. Another one.
Did he? I know he had an Aftershock book.
Yeah, I want to say he has like a whole bunch of stuff that was out, I think. But yeah, I will read this and get back to you.
I'm trying to look. I got it. Oh, it's Rags and Tatters is what the name of the antique shop is that his dad owns, and he lives upstairs in the attic or up in the upstairs apartment.
Okay. To go back to your question, why everything has to happen in Gotham, I often wonder that. Like, there are so many stories that take place in Gotham that don't have to take place in Gotham, that it's not a Batman story, so there's like, it doesn't make sense why some of these other people would be doing stuff there, and I never understood it. You know? I mean, there's so many other places that they can be.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm with you. I don't know if he was always in Gotham, like in the other incarnations or not. I don't remember that part.
To be honest, I've never really read much, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Because I didn't know because to me, like, when I think, I don't know, like old antique shop type thing, it'd be like a New Orleans type thing. You know what I mean? Like with the voodoo type stuff.
Right.
For this type of story. But, like, I don't know what the connection of why it has to be Gotham. Unless, you know, pre-52 Ragman was in Gotham.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not overly familiar with the character, so I got no idea.
Right. I only Mike Myers. I was in the Constantine and Detective Chimp, so I tweeted him and asking him what other books that the Detective Chimp was in.
Okay.
And he told me that I should read Shadow Pact. Because I was a part of like the Dark Arts like team.
Okay.
And Ragman was in that for a little bit. So that's about the only time, only around the version basically that I know.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, just looking it up quick, it looks like Shadow Pact takes place in Wyoming.
Yeah, well, yeah. But
you know, so like, I don't really see, you know,
but it's a group book though, it's not,
right, but I'm saying like I don't really see him having such a huge Gotham connection in anything,
right,
you know,
but yeah,
but honestly, yep. I don't know, I'm just looking quick at, you know, little things. So that brings me to the other reader question that I sort of proposed to you last time we recorded. that our friend Nick asked us about our favorite DC character revamps.
Okay.
And I should have asked him if he meant just for Rebirth or in general, but I took that as an in general kind of thing.
Okay.
And of course, me being me, I couldn't just stick with best. I also came up with a bunch that I really hated.
Yes, yes, so, yes.
So, I guess, do you
want... I know one of my best and one of your worst is going to be the same, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. One of my cool things, I guess, is like taking... I guess I walked that fine line where I want to see older characters from my childhood.
Okay.
But modernized. And then, you know, like the god-awful G.I. Joe movies, sometimes that doesn't work out.
Right. So what you're saying is you loved emo Lobo in the New 52 because it was a modernized version of the Lobo that you liked back when you were younger.
No. No, no, no. No.
Are you sure?
I'm 120,000% sure.
Because he made my list of worst.
No, he made my list of worst, too.
Even though, I mean, it wasn't really a revamp. It was a different character.
It was a revamp.
Yeah, but it was a revamp. Oh, yeah.
One of my top ones might surprise you.
Okay.
Honestly. Of the ones that I really enjoy.
Okay.
Is Jericho.
All right, I could see that.
It's more, it's not that he's revamped, it's just more modernized, I guess.
Right. Well, in along the same lines, one of my favorites is Nightwing. How he went from, you know, like the 70s disco collar and the powder blue costume.
Yes.
And I mean, he wore that really awful, what was it, that like the black and yellow outfit for a while, but now, you know, he's got the, you know, his character design now.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know,
it's more streamlined.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. Just the design of him, and also I like, I don't know, like something with the character. Like he seems that he's way more mature than he was.
Well, I would hope so after 30 years.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's still 22 years old, whatever it is.
Right, yeah. So what you're saying is the writing was fantastic back when we were kids, well, but now it's even better.
Yes. Yeah, like, no, I think that they, you know, especially because he's a character that's grown, I mean, over 70 years. I don't know when Robin first showed up.
Right.
At least 60 years. But, you know, I mean, you've seen him over with everything, and I think his development, his everything, is one of the best. As time has gone on, he's been one of the most solid, different characters, I guess.
Yeah. See, you in a different way, I guess. Because I went, like, total revamp.
I have a few of those.
Okay.
I kind of split it up half and half.
Because I'm going to guess that my favorite, Nick Whitmore, would say that that's a chicken shit answer.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's on the fence about it. But he wouldn't say it like I just said it, because, you know, he's super nice and super cool. But I just come out and say it because I have no filter.
Uh-oh. Now I'm nervous. Your favorite is going to be... let me see if I can guess.
Well, not my favorite. I haven't said my favorite yet.
Oh. Oh, jeez. Your favorite oh, I know what it's going to be. Because it's going to be one... What? You said it's going to be one I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be when Guy Gardner had, like, that weird blue war paint all over him, and he was wearing, like, the chaps and the cowboy boots?
And he was called the Warrior?
Yeah, and he was like, all of a sudden he's not fully human and he's kind of alien. Right?
No. No.
Because that's on my worst list as well.
Guy could be on the list.
Yeah.
As a revamp. Yeah, because I think RVD did pretty good in this run with him.
Yeah,
like showing
to be honest,
that side of him.
I think the most interesting thing that happened with him was when he became a Red Lantern.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant like this new...
Yeah, no, I know. But you know, Venditti didn't write that. It was Charles Soule.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you take a character, he's always been kind of angry. He's always been really hot-headed. And, you know, but he obviously has strong willpower. But all of a sudden, you know, the anger sort of intensifies and he's all rage all the time. And, hey, now he's a Red Lantern. I mean, that's a totally different direction to take him in. And, I mean, he ended up leading the Red Lantern Corps, which was kind of cool. Well, a faction of it, I guess. But, yeah, it was still pretty awesome. So I would probably... He has had some of my favorite and least favorite revamps, I would say.
See... Okay, here's a revamp for you that has done, like, three that I know of that could be more than that, obviously, but, like, Calendar Man. Okay?
Okay.
Like, in the old days, like, when we were little, he was just, like, a one-off villain, and he only did stuff, like, you know, on whatever, right?
Right.
And then he went to, well, not in this order either, but then, like, in the New 52, he was in the backup issues playing the stupid newscaster role.
Yeah.
Right? But then he went to that, what issue was that? Was that a Batman issue, or was that the holiday issue? I think it was the holiday issue, like, where he went... They went, like, serial killer style with him. And, like, hard and edgy.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I don't remember where that was. I don't think Carol, it was an issue of Batman. Just because...
I know, it was a Batman
no way
story.
That it was that good. But I think...
It was a Batman story.
But I think it was maybe... Was there a Batman annual that it was a story in?
It could have been the annual, which the annual I think was the holiday issue that had several writers writing shorts in it.
Right. Man, now I don't remember. I do remember reading that though, and I do remember enjoying it significantly more than I expected to enjoy a Calendar Man story.
Yeah, right. So that would be a revamp that I totally dug, just because you take the wacky cheesiness, you know, of it,
right,
and you make them relevant. That's the cool thing. That's, you know,
yeah.
Or like, say with Kite Man, I know that's one reason why I like the Kite Man.
I'm unfamiliar with that character.
Yeah, well, but that's one of the reasons why I like him though, is because it's a different take, and it's not... It is, like, satire-y and slapsticky kind of thing, but we also get the layers, too, of why.
Right.
So, you know, it is what it is.
Before I get back to my list of anger...
Your list of anger?
Yeah. Just some horrible choices. One that I'm enjoying... Or that I enjoy... I'll put it this way. I enjoy it in theory, but I haven't been enjoying it as much recently, I guess.
Okay.
Is you got Superman, who is, you know, the all-American good guy. You
right.
got his arch-nemesis, who's this ultra-wealthy, you know, I'm going to do anything I can to give myself more power and make myself more money and stop Superman in the process, bad guy, Lex Luthor.
but he's not that.
But then you take Lex Luthor and turn him into Superman. And I think this current version of him is, it's one of the strangest choices that I guess they made in taking a character in a new direction. But at the same time, it makes so much sense for, you know, this 70-year character arc that it's, in theory, I really enjoy it. But, I mean, it really comes down to the writer, I think, that there are some people who get all the complexity of the character of he's still Lex Luthor, but he's also Superman. But there's others that, you know, just still write him like he's the old Lex, and it doesn't fit the new version. So it kind of like makes it really awkward, you know, like sort of disjointed, I guess, for me. But yeah, I think this new Lex is probably one of my favorite updates of anyone.
Is your favorite one?
No, not my favorite.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to save my favorite for the end.
Okay.
After I go on for about 25 minutes about things I don't like.
So, you know, just basically staying on target then.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. To me, it just feels weird. Like, he's been, just because we grew up with him being the villain.
Right.
And the heel, and then all of a sudden, you know, like wrestling, he does the babyface turn.
But,
you know?
But that's why it's interesting, because he's been, like, the ultimate bad guy. You know? Like, it's almost like if the Joker all of a sudden saved a kitten in a tree and gave it back to a little girl and then bought her, like, a slice of pizza for lunch.
Yes, that's just like Sean Murphy's White Knight.
Yeah, see?
And that should be one of the books that we talked about at the beginning, too, because that book's awesome.
I haven't read the first issue yet.
Oh, my God.
I know. I have it. I do have that. I just haven't read it yet.
Well, you're going to read Ragman and White Knight as soon as we're done recording them.
And I have to read so many books.
Before Wednesday.
Yeah, before Wednesday. It's a good thing tomorrow's not Halloween. And I have stuff to do.
Yep. Sucks to be you.
Yeah. Oh, well. What's another that you like or dislike?
Let's see. Well, Ragman, I would say, would be one. Just because it's his character's modernized.
Right.
And it's not really a fresh take on it, because all the genesis of the origin is there still.
Okay.
But the things that are changed, there's subtle nods to throwbacks and whatever.
Right. I have one character that has gone through some changes that I love and hate. And that character is Batman.
Alright.
The one... It kind of surprises people when I say I liked it, but I enjoyed Jim Gordon Batman.
The big bunny-eared robot Batman?
Right. But, I mean, also, he had, like, kind of a cool Batman kind of costume thing that he wore. I mean, it was weird seeing Gordon, you know, with, like, a shaved head and everything. But, I don't know. Like, I kind of liked that they were trying to do, you know, something like there was no Batman. So Gotham, as much as they hate Batman at times, most of the time, they still, you know, obviously the people in the police department realize that they still need a Batman. So what do? They make their own, you know, and who better to do that than the one person who actually knows Batman.
Right.
So I thought that was, like an interesting, you know, the same thing with Lex Luthor. Like you have, I mean, Gordon isn't, you know, like Batman's enemy, but it the two of them never really, I guess until recently, it's not like they see eye to eye that, you know, Gordon's always trying to get Batman to do things like his way. And Batman's like, hell no, I'm Batman. I'm, you know, this is what I'm going to do. But, it, you know, seeing Gordon kind of struggle with being Batman and, like, realizing what Bruce goes through, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Was pretty interesting to me.
The dual identity part of it, the stress on that.
Right, except, I mean, but at the same time, everyone knew that it was Gordon in the Batman suit, right?
Yeah.
So, like, at least he didn't have to, he wasn't dealing with nobody knows who I am.
Right, yeah.
But it's still, you know, him functioning in and out of the costume.
Right, right.
Which is significantly better than my least favorite Batman, which was when Azrael became Batman.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I am not a fan.
I mean, was it because it wasn't written properly?
No, I mean, one, the costume was ridiculous.
Well, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, luckily, it only went on for like 18 months. but yeah. I was not a fan of the John Paul Valley Batman run.
All right, I can see that.
You know.
Yeah. One for me to the good side would be this new Bizarro that we got with Jason Todd and Bizarro.
Yep.
With Robin or Red Hood and Outlaws. Yep. Red Robin.
This Bizarro made my list as well.
Just because, like we've said, you know, in the archives and past episodes, that he's more of the of Mice and Men Lenny style.
Right.
And humanized. Instead of, you know, this big dumb brute, I guess.
Yeah.
The layers. It's the layers of the onion Shrek.
Jeez. Yeah, no, I completely agree. For all of those reasons, that it's not slapstick Bizarro.
Yeah.
Who's just like this oaf who thinks he's Superman and does everything screwed up. Like, this guy, you know, he has friends that he wants to protect. And yep. He, you know, sacrifices himself time and again to help. And, you know, like, you feel when, you know, he's, like, saving those people, keeping them safe in the cave or whatever that he hid them in.
Yep.
You're like, I mean, old Bizarro would never have done that. Old Bizarro would have, you know, eaten them because that's funny or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Or, you know, pet them and broke
their necks. Yeah. My favorite part, though, is when Bizarro gets shot when he's looking out at the lake.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Look at the flowers. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you think Red Hood fits that too? Or Artemis, for that matter?
I guess Artemis would. Red Hood, I mean, he still sort of feels the same to me.
Okay. Even during the terrible New 52 book?
That doesn't exist. You know, when
right.
Jason Todd is written correctly, he's always felt the same to me.
Okay.
You know, like that was... See, old Bizarro would have fit into that book because it was just ridiculous.
All right.
Another least favorite of mine...
Yes.
Do you remember Flashpoint Zatanna?
Yes.
When she was wearing like the hip hugger jeans or the pants and the weird like bra and leather vest and like what the crap was that?
I don't know.
I mean, I get that, you know, everything was different. You know, like, I mean, obviously they had to make things strange so that they realized things were strange, but...
Right.
Oh my goodness, what an odd... Of all the people to do something like that, too, that was just a really odd sort of thing.
Yep, totally agree.
How many more do you have? You got a bunch?
I have one. I have one of my favorites, but I'm sure I can talk about a lot more. So
okay, because
I'm going to say my favorite until until we're ready.
All right. Well, I got a couple more that I really don't like.
Okay.
And then I can get to the one that I really liked. Another this one is so bad. Do you remember when Dr. Fate was no longer a magician?
When was that?
In the 90s, in the Fate series, when he had like a maroon, like stretchy outfit on, like a unitard, and he had like a shoulder pad and just random belts all over his chest and whatever. And he used like just he had a sword and you're like, why does Dr. Fate have a sword and a mullet and what exactly is happening with this character that was so awesome?
And the answer is
the 90s. I don't know what the answer is. It's just like it doesn't make sense. That one does not make sense.
Yeah.
One that overall I don't think I liked was when Hal Jordan in the New 52 quit the Green Lantern Corps, basically to take the blame, that everybody hated the Green Lanterns, and he's like, you know what, if I steal this gauntlet and I take the blame for everything, people will like the Green Lanterns and I'll just be this renegade guy. But for some reason, when he took the gauntlet, instead of keeping his look, he had long hair and like a trench coat and like a weird white bodysuit.
Well, yeah,
like
because
character wise I liked it, but like design wise I was not a fan. That one. And the last one that I really was not a huge fan of was the depowered Superman from the New 52. I mean, Superman's had a couple crappy ones. I was not a fan of, like, the black costume Superman.
Oh, come on. The Return of?
No. No.
Man, that one was awesome.
Awful. You said awful wrong.
No. Now, if you're going to talk blue and red Superman, then we can go awful.
No, but, like, the depowered Superman was like he shaved his head and he wore blue jeans and basically just like a Superman t-shirt that like you and I would wear.
And like Connor does.
Yeah. Except, you know, when there's like a teen clone, that makes sense. Like he was literally wearing like a blue t-shirt with the logo.
Yeah.
And it just
And he had the like work boots and the rolled up pants at the bottom.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's always bleeding in his
hand. Was a kid himself, though, in New 52, right?
No.
Well, I mean, he isn't as old as the Superman is in Rebirth.
To be honest, I don't even remember. It was so dumb.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So all I have to really talk about is my favorite update.
Okay. Well, I have a 1A and a 1B.
Okay, so do you want to give your 1B?
Yes. My 1B would be Orphan.
Oh, interesting.
Because I totally dig that part of, like, the revamp or the new direction that they went with her character.
Yeah, I could see that. You know what? Totally slipped my mind. That's a good choice.
Thank you. I thought so as well. That's why she's my 1B.
Well, obviously, it's not that good a choice because it's not my number one.
My 1A is Aquaman.
I'm confused. What? The revamp when he had long hair and a hook?
No, I'm talking about the rebirth Aquaman. This one right here.
Okay.
Just because, it could be that the writing's stronger or than previous versions, I would say. I mean, there was some. Like, I liked the first couple arcs of the new 52 Aquaman, you know?
Yeah.
But then it, like, tailed off. But
Who wrote the first couple arcs of the new 52 Aquaman?
I don't know. Who did?
Jeff Johns.
Oh. Oh, sure. He did. He wrote everything, New 52.
He did. He wrote every single.
Well, close to everything, except for Batman. That was Snyder.
Yeah.
And Animal Man. And Swamp Thing.
No, he wrote but you get the...
Nope. No, he didn't. All of because them. I like the first two arcs of those, too. But, no, like, this one is more of the... We're going back to, like, the old school values of it, I guess.
Right.
And so, to me, it might not be as big of a revamp as, like, the new Ragman or Orphan, or there's just a subtle change that makes them new and fresh again.
Right. Could it be the subtle change that he's not the king and he's like... Fuck it, Lannis.
Well, no, because when it started, he was the king. When I liked it, and you guys didn't. Because
it was bad.
No, because it was good. No. It was so good, you thought it was bad.
Oh my God, no, it's not one of those like weird things that it was so bad it like wrapped itself around and became good again.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is.
It's not. It's not how it was. The first four issues, that first trade of the Rebirth Aquaman is garbage. I will stand by that. It was garbage. And once issue five hit, and they realized, let's not have Black Manta be totally stupid, and let's actually write a good Aquaman character, that's when that book got good. But I agree, Aquaman is awesome now.
Yeah.
Now, not then.
It's always been since Rebirth.
My favorite, and this is going to come out of left field, because it's like when he was first around, he was like a not even a D-level villain.
Okay.
But one particular author saw how awesome this character could be.
Kite Man.
And she took this character and made him so cool. And that author is Gail Simone, and that character is Catman.
Interesting.
The
You're going to have to tell me more, because I don't think I've read it.
Okay, Sinister Six. You've never read Sinister Six? Not Sinister Six, Secret Six.
Spider-Man Sinister Six? Oh, yeah, I love that. I'm
totally confused. Shut up. I hate you. Forget it. Podcast over. Yeah, you don't remember Catman in Sinister Six? He was the guy with the octopus arms?
No.
No, like when Catman first showed up, he was basically this just like throwaway villain. Then he went away for a while. He came back again a little bit. And he was like this fat, like loserish, you know, basic, like he was the villain that the other villains made fun of. You know, like he couldn't do anything right and he was horrible. And then in Sinister Six, she was like, I'm going to use this character and I'm going to make him freaking awesome as hell, where he's just great. I mean,
Sinister Six?
Did I say that again?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So he's Kraven? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, he's the one that hovers on the green whatever Green Goblin hovers on.
The glider?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is this title so that way I can actually go?
I don't even know. I have no idea. I'm gonna keep saying Sinister Six no matter how many times I know in my heart of hearts that it's Secret Six.
Oh, it's Secret Six. Okay.
And now I will say Sinister Six every single time now, just so you know.
Okay. But we can talk about Sinister Six.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know anyone else in the Sinister Six, so I'm out of Spider-Man references. Yeah, but he... I'm trying to think when...
So Bane was in this one?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Maybe it was 2005? I don't remember. It was like
Villains United.
Yeah, it was the Villains United story, but I'm ignoring that. But I'm going the newest version of him, which was in the New 52.
Okay.
It's probably the same way that you feel on like, Kite Man, garbage.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that he. I mean, literally, it was. This total throwaway, he would show up just to get foiled kind of thing. And then all of a sudden he's like the leader of this group. And he, like, she turned him into, you know, he's like
Black Alice. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Black Alice is in it.
Uh-huh. Or are you saying Gail Simone?
No,
as in she
Gail Simone.
Okay. Pronouns, pal.
What?
Just kidding.
What's the only female that I've referenced in the last 4 minutes has been Gail Simone.
Well, then you started talking about Secret Six, so I was trying to figure out.
I'm just making shit up at this point.
Whoa, yeah. Ventriloquist isn't a part of the team too?
Yeah, I'm telling you. You gotta read this. Oh,
and then Ralph?
You gotta read this. It's really good.
Okay.
So he, I mean, I'm trying to think. He showed up a bunch in her Birds of Prey stuff. And whatever, but he went from being this overweight pushover to being this like athletic, cunning, you know, I guess he has super strength, maybe. I don't remember. But he's like a fantastic fighter. He, you know, and at the same time, even though he's kind of always on like villain teams, he's another of those like kind of like the Rogues in a way. How they sort of have that like weird nobility, like there are lines that they won't cross, and that's, you know, that's sort of him, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
I mean he's gone toe to toe with Batman a couple times, and it's been entertaining, but I definitely, if you have a chance to read Secret Six, mm-hmm. I would highly recommend it. It's all really
well,
good.
Well, I just bought it, so. So for...
This segment has been brought to you by Gail Simone and Comixology.
So the first segment was brought to you by Comixology as well.
Yes. Do we get kickbacks? That would be nice.
No, we don't. We're not cool enough to have Patreons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. We're cool enough to be the number two downloaded podcast, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, I think one thing that I do, like, really enjoy about Catman is that even though he's sort of, he is a villain, but he's sort of a good guy in a villain suit, but, like, he just doesn't like the Justice League. Because he thinks that they're abusing their powers.
So this is like Suicide Squad version B, C?
But it's not a Suicide Squad.
Well, I know that. But I'm just saying it's like a group of bad guys, basically, right?
For the most part.
Yeah.
But...
So...
Yeah.
No, I'm not knocking on it because, like I said, now I got to read it. So,
yeah, it's good. I would definitely say of all the characters that I have read that have been very terrible in the past, and then all of a sudden have become awesome, Catman is number one.
Can't argue with that.
Well, I mean, you can argue with that. You'd be wrong.
Well, I could, but I don't know anything about him, so now I gotta find out about him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think when he even debuted. I mean, it has to have been a long time ago. Maybe like the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have to be like one of those. Let's see. Here, look, I just clicked on it. In 1940s.
He showed up in the 40s?
Yeah, he was a Holyoke Publishing character.
Interesting.
And he came out in Catman and Kitten. I don't know. But he was initially a supervillain and the rival of Batman.
Right.
He came out in Detective Comics number 311, 1963.
Oh, okay.
And it was created by Bill Finger right? And yeah. Jim Mooney.
Yep. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, so he's like...
But there's also another different Catman, too, in the Blackhawks.
Oh, yeah?
In Blackhawk 141, but he has no connection with a more prominent Batman villain. So, yeah.
Interesting.
There you go.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when he was, like, totally useless, I think he was in the, what was the name of the team? The one with Killer Moth. The Misfits. I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what... Yes, it's the Misfits.
Oh, are you reading it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
His known team affiliations is... It says Secret Six and the Misfits.
Yeah, so like, that was pretty much... He was, like, the... He was the punching bag of that group. Yeah. But... Yeah, that's... That's pretty much my favorite or favorites and my least favorites.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a couple others that we can go on there, but those definitely spring to our mind right now.
Yeah. I'm sure people listening to this will get in touch with us and let us know why we were wrong.
Or what their best and worst ones are.
Yeah, that's why we're wrong.
Well, I'm not saying why we're wrong, because I'm sure most of them will agree with me.
You gotta be more negative about stuff, Ronnie.
I can't.
That's your problem. It's a big problem.
Maybe. It's a big problem.
Yeah. But oh, well.
That Catman cover that I just sent you.
Oh, did you send me one?
Yeah, in Skype chat.
Ah.
That's the first cover that he was... Or that's with his him first appearance. Where he's riding the cat.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes. You would think that him and Catwoman would be like arch rivals.
Why? They're totally different characters, man.
But he's riding the cat, though. And she enjoys cats. See what I'm saying?
I don't see what you're saying.
Oh, my God.
I don't see what one thing has to do with the other.
All right.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that Batman and Man-Bat should be friends because they're just, like, opposites of each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Why aren't they?
I don't know.
Speaking of, another revamped character could be Clayface. Well, I guess it's not revamped. He's more reformed, I guess.
Right, yeah. That's kind of...
No, yeah. That's two totally different things.
No, you don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say it was kind of like when the Rogues were good guys defending everything and Forever Evil.
Yeah.
Shut up. You're not my real dad. Yeah, I like Clayface now. I mean, I always liked Clayface, but he's really good now. I don't sort of groan when he shows up.
Right, yeah. Because I guess he can go into that same category as, like, Bizarro, where it actually...
Yeah.
Where they actually added layers.
Yeah.
You know? And didn't, like, totally retcon what he was just to fit the story.
Right.
Because the roots are still there. They just humanized him more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, are you ready to wrap this up?
No. Now I am.
You kept saying yeah, so.
That's what I say when I agree with you. What am I supposed to say? I know you're not used to me agreeing with you. So nope. It kind of came out of left field, I guess. So, you ready to wrap this thing up?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Absolute DC Podcast. You can tweet me directly at Aaron S. Bell.
You can tweet me directly at Rombar316.
You can tweet all hate messages directly to at Who's Paul. And if you want to get in touch with the show directly, you can tweet us at DC_Absolute. And, let us know what your favorite revamps or least favorite revamps over the years have been.
And we're out.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Now that wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com. Totally confused. Shut up. I hate you. Forget it. Podcast over. Shut up. You're not my real dad.